Wowza, wowza. My trip to Alaska has been astounding. Truly. Ashley and I, my fiance, we're looking so forward to coming up here. The weather has been extraordinary. The welcoming has been. Gene and Brian have been the most amazing hosts. We have been taken around to be seen, gorgeous. I have not been allowed to pull my wallet out of my pocket the whole time I'm here. It's been extraordinary, so thank you. Thank you for this incredibly warm welcome. So on our way to the airport, we were about 5 minutes from the airport, when I looked at Ash and I go, you know our dress clothes? They're still sitting in the closet at home. So I actually did bring a suit I almost brought a suit for today. It didn't make it. Today I want to talk to you about knowing, without a doubt. I want to talk to you about it here and in the workshop. But here what I want to tell you is imagine living a life where everything is in sync, where everything is rolling along with just extraordinary perfection every moment of every day. Would you like to have a life like that? You do! That's what's happening all the time. You are in complete sync with exactly what you know to be true. If you want to know what you know, look at the life you have. And that's what you know. Now, what do I mean by knowing? Well, how many of you, when you woke up this morning, or any time this morning, checked to see if your heart was beating? Anybody? That's knowing. That's knowing. You don't even check on it. You know. Okay, how many here pay bills without ever looking in their bank account as to whether there's enough money or not? Ever check their bank account? That's not knowing. That's the difference. Okay, now if you don't know that you have enough money in your bank account, what is it that you are knowing? Because we are knowing something all the time. Every moment of every day, we are knowing something, and that something is what's manifesting. Right? These teachings are amazing because you actually don't have to believe them. Just because you don't believe them, it doesn't mean they're not happening. Right? What we embody manifests. That's the facts. That's just the facts. And you don't have to be a part of this teaching. You could be in any other church, anywhere you want to be. What they're embodying is manifesting. What we're embodying is manifesting. That's just the way it is. So, since that's the way it is, what we want to do, right, is know what we want to know. Instead of what we are knowing, if we want things to be different. Now, if we're happy with exactly the way things are, then keep knowing things exactly the way you know them, right? But what is it we want to know? We want to know that we are powerful, creative, spiritual beings, and our lives work magnificently. That's what we want to know. Is there anybody here who doesn't want to know that? I want to make sure, you know, I'm not taking for granted that I'm speaking for everybody. Okay, somebody wants to know something different, it's okay by me. So are we in alignment here? We want to know that we are powerful, creative, spiritual beings, and our lives work magnificently. So if that's not what's showing up every single day, then that's not what we're knowing. A shaman once said to me, you got to know what you don't know to then know what you do want to know. Right? You got to. How many times have you gone along? I hear people say, I know all the time. And then I watch how they, you know, like that's what we do in treatment, right? And anybody here who's heard of treatment knows that there's that part of the treatment where we go, I know. Well, do they? No. And then I was standing in a circle of practitioners once, and we were about to go into prayer. And the practitioner who was supposed to pray for that particular circle, before he started what he thought was treatment, goes, you know, I know we're a little out of it here today. And I said, what? Is that what you want to know before you start treatment? Right? How many times do we say something like that? Or I love when somebody says, you know, I know things aren't great right now, but they're going to be. Is that really what you want to know, that they're not great right now? I hear people say all the time, semantics. It's only semantics. Well, aren't we the ones that say the power of your word? Semantics is everything. But here's the thing, okay? You may notice that sometimes you go into prayer or you use a practitioner to go into prayer and the thing's not showing up like right away. Well, this is how it looks to me. What we say and what we think feeds what we believe. What we believe feeds what we embody. The real knowing. The kind of knowing where we don't even question it like our heart beating anymore. What we embody is what shows up. It isn't until it reaches the embodiment part that it shows up. But the second it reaches the embodiment part, it does show up. Right? Like boom. How many times has anybody here had something show up and they were really impatient because it hadn't shown up sooner, but then when it did show up, you kind of said to yourself, oh, I guess this really was the right time for it. Anybody have that experience? Or how about the experience of it? You worked really hard for something, and then it never came about, and the second you said, oh, forget it, then it shows up. Because you finally let it go and took it in. Ash and I were talking about that with each other. We're both dating and going and doing this, and both of us were like, oh, forget this. You know, the perfect and right time, the perfect and right person's going to show up. A couple weeks later, we meet. A year later, we're engaged. Best relationship I've ever had in my life by so far. It's unbelievable. So, woohoo! So what is it we want to know? That we are powerful, creative, spiritual beings and our lives work magnificently. Can you say that with me? Here we go. We are powerful, creative, spiritual beings and our lives work magnificently. How powerful is this knowing? I want to read you something as soon as I take out my glasses. I love this. This is the real doctor's report, reported in the American Medical Association. The patient was febrile, which means he had a fever, gasping for air, required oxygen by mask, and every other day required a thoracentesis, which is removal of fluid from the chest, which produced 1 to 2 liters of milky fluid. Masses the size of oranges were present in his neck, groin, chest, and abdomen. The spleen and liver were greatly enlarged. The patient was resistant to all treatment, was completely bedridden, and his life expectancy was thought to be a matter of days or weeks. Despite this, the patient was not without hope, because he had heard of the favorable publicity with which the newspapers had reported a new anti-cancer drug called Crebiozin. The patient learned that the drug was being tried at the hospital at which he was confined, and he begged for the drug until he was finally granted, although with reluctance and pessimism from his doctor. The patient's response was astounding. After one day of treatment, the tumor masses melted to half their original size. Within 10 days, all signs of his disease had vanished, and he breathed normally, and he was discharged. After 2 months of perfect health, conflicting and pessimistic reports about Crebiozin began to appear in the newspapers. The patient lost hope, relapsed to his original state and wound up back in the hospital. The physician, however, rekindled the patient's hope by telling him not to believe what he read, that the drug deteriorated with standing, and that a new super-refined double-strength drug was to arrive the following day. The patient was then given water injections, and his optimistic expectations were restored. Recovery was even more dramatic than before. He became completely healed, was discharged, and continued symptom-free for over 2 months. What happened in 2 months' time is the AMA released a report saying Carbozyin was a worthless drug and didn't work. Within a few days, the patient was readmitted to hospital and died within 48 hours. First, he knew it worked. Knew it. And so it worked. Then he knew it didn't work. Knew it. So it didn't. Then he knew it worked. So it did. Then he knew it didn't. And he died. What we know is so dramatically important and can show and shows up instantly. I mean, that's the key to all this. What you have in your life is what you know. Really different from what you want to know, maybe, or really is what you want to know, and there it is. So take a look around you, see what you got, know that this is what you know, and then decide what it is you want to know. Right? I mean, that's what we're here working with. And when circumstances get really tough, that's when we want to know it the most. And what is it we want to know? That we are powerful, creative, spiritual beings, and our lives work magnificently. Come on again. We are powerful, creative, spiritual beings, and our lives work magnificently. That's what we want to know. Right? So there's Ernest telling us to abandon the truth in our hour of need is to not understand the truth. So it's when circumstances are at their worst that we really got to turn to this thing. And so how do we get to this knowing? This knowing that comes from our thoughts to belief and belief to embodiment. You know, how do we work all that through? Practice. Practice, practice, practice. Right? So I saw this horrible movie about a football player who finds out he's got a daughter. It was with The Rock. Now, The Rock has muscles the size of my head, right? Okay, so the beginning of the movie, while the credits are rolling and the music is going, is the alarm goes off, he gets out of bed, and the very first thing he does is go into the room next to his, which is a gym, and works out. And I thought to myself, that's what it takes. Rolling out of bed and working those muscles, those spiritual muscles. I mean, don't you want to be an Olympian gold medal winner treatment person? Right? Have this so down. Somebody said to me the other day that they used to, when somebody cut them off in traffic, their default used to be that they'd get angry. Now their default is to go into prayer. I like that way better. That's developing that muscle where what becomes your default is the thing you want, right? And that takes practice, 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 practice every day. And then we build these spiritual muscles that are as big as our heads, just like The Rock's got those muscles on his arms. And so, and when we're working at this stuff, it's really not about patience. I want to throw in something here around patience. I do not have patience. And I do not intend to develop it. And I will tell you why. Because if I want to develop patience, I'm going to keep creating situations that move things away from me so I can be patient. Instead, I develop perfect and right time. The knowing of perfect and right time. I know that time is on my side. And I really do know that time is on my side because my life unfolds in the most miraculous ways around time. It is one way in which I really have gotten so much better. I used to be late all the time for stuff. And I was always rushing until one day the same shaman I've worked with on several different projects says to me, do not rush, move quickly. Because rushing is an emotional state. Moving quickly is just what you do when you want to get something done. So you pull the rush out of it. And so I started thinking about that, just thinking about how time is on my side. And all of a sudden I noticed that I was actually no longer rushing and reaching all my appointments in a timely manner, and I had not done that previously in my life. More and more, and even if I was running late to begin with, I would get a phone call saying, hey, you mind if we meet 15 minutes later? I go, okay. You know, that the circumstances, the conditions would actually shift so that I was always on time. That time was on my side. And so I'm doing this for a few years. I'm doing this for a few years, just knowing that time is on my side and watching how that's working out all over the place in terms of my appointments. And then finally, it dawns on me that the one place I had not applied this is in the things I want to accomplish, the bigger things I want to accomplish in my life. There, I was still holding, oh my God, I'm getting older, I'm not getting this stuff done. I was not holding, the day-to-day stuff, I was great, time is on my side. Okay, look at all this working out. The larger stuff, it took me a few years to finally, should have had a V8 kind of thing, and going, oh my God, I'm not applying it to the bigger accomplishments I want to make in my life. And all of a sudden, I started doing that. I started holding my bigger vision with the idea that time is on my side. And it was through that all of a sudden I wrote this book that had just been a thought in my head, you know? And it's this great book called Cliff Notes on the Science of Mind textbook. It's being used in over 40 centers now for their classes and stuff. It's all over the movement. It's being picked up by home office. I mean, everybody is now in the midst of wanting to use this book that it just came to me one day out of me sitting there wondering what my next step was and stop being impatient about not knowing. Getting into that idea that time is on my side. Really knowing that, and then how that's demonstrating in my life is just extraordinary. And I'm looking at all the things and what timing they appear and how they're showing up, and I'm going, oh my God, this is incredible. It's perfect timing. And I find myself saying that more and more now. Oh my God, it's perfect timing. And that's how I know that I've really embodied time being on my side. How do I know? Because things I'm really experiencing perfect timing. And I'm just loving that. And that's how you'd start taking in this stuff. And that's why I keep reminding myself when the circumstances don't look good. What do I remind myself? That I am a powerful, creative, spiritual being and my life works magnificently. That's right. I want to know that. And I practice that. And I sometimes say that. I got to tell you, sometimes I need to say that over 100 times a day. You know, some days just seem like you just need to keep reminding yourself, right? Well, then that's what you do, you know? And I'm to the point now where when something's going on in my life that I'm not crazy about, the thought that occurs to me is it's gym time. Time to work out. And because I want to be an Olympic gold medal treater, manifester. I want to be that. And so how do you know, I don't know anybody who ever won a gold medal without like working like crazy at it, right? Practice, 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 practice. Those folks who get that far, they dedicate their lives to it. So what are you dedicating your life to? Are you dedicated towards making your consciousness as aware as possible into the knowing you want it to be? Are you dedicated to that? I am. Because it's happening anyway. You know, that's the thing. Whether you want to work at it, if you don't work at it, well, then you're unconsciously knowing, and that's what's showing up. Right? Because this principle isn't just our good idea. This is not just some good idea Ernest Holmes thought up one day. This has been going on since the beginning of time. The idea that we manifest what we embody. We're doing it. We might as well do it consciously. But You know, being conscious all the time is not just, you know, I don't know, maybe, and I don't want to put out there that it has to be hard. You know, that I'm not going to know that either. But I do know that for me personally, I got to practice. And I am dedicated to that. Absolutely dedicated. I highly recommend you dedicate yourself to that too, because everything else then falls into place. You know, playing guitar. And the other thing is, we got to be really careful about judgment. Really, really careful around judgment, right? And my favorite lesson around that, again, came from a shaman. I support vision quests. And so these folks were up on the mountain, and my particular job this evening was to focus on the fire and said, send my energy through the fire up to the people on the mountain. And the shaman's sitting over there, and I'm looking at the fire, and all of a sudden there's folks behind me who are kidding around and laughing, and I turn around to look at them, and the second I turn around, the shaman says, now you're not looking at the fire. And I was like, oh, wow. That's what judgment is, right? As soon as we start judging people who are being in judgment, now we're not staying centered with our teaching. What's the best way to create more judgment in the world? Be judgmental if somebody's being judgmental. That's the best way to keep judgment going. You know? So that's our job, right? Our job in this dedication is to stay focused on what it is we actually want to know, which is that everything is in perfect order. You know, whatever they're doing somehow feeds an opportunity for me, gym time, instead of judging them, so that I can learn to keep my focus on that fire, on my fire, on the fire of life, on the love, on the love. And, you know, I know for myself that I've heard folks say, you know, but I'm never going to be enlightened. And I say that, you know, this is really hard and it doesn't happen for me naturally. And so I have one more story for you. When I first started playing guitar, I was terrible at it. Everybody told me I was terrible at it. They said I couldn't sing, I couldn't play. I was terrible. And I practiced and I practiced for about a year, went out and played my first gig. And a bunch of drunks at the bar booed me off the stage. I was devastated, went home, cried a little bit, pulled myself together and practiced another 6-8 months, went out and played my second gig, and there was an agent in the audience who came backstage to talk to me and said, you know, you're terrible at this. But you're kind of cute, so you should try acting. Well, I kept practicing. I just kept practicing, kept putting myself out there. And 7 years later, I'm reading in a New York City newspaper a review of one of my shows that started out by saying, what a natural this guy must be to put on the show he did last night. I went from no talent at all to a natural in 7 years. Now, we're talking about 10,000 hours of practice. Just playing and playing and playing. And that's what's possible. You know, we can be naturals at this. We just got to keep going. With dedication. Dedicated to the truth. That's what's there for each and every one of us. Dedication. And what's the truth? That we are powerful, creative, spiritual beings, and our lives work magnificently. And what do you want to know about time? Time is on my side. What's that again? Time is on my side. Yes, yes, yes. So this afternoon, we're going to be delving into some specific skills and ideas where you get to use that part of your knowing called intuition, so that it's right every time. I will show you in less than an hour The workshop will probably go too, because you'll have a million questions and I'll answer every one of them. But I will show you very quickly what you can do to make sure that your intuition is right every single time. So come join me for that. Now I want to talk to you about one other thing, which is that, well, maybe two other things. One is a workshop called The Art of No One and Nothing Against You. This is a 21-day process where you get a workbook, and I'm going to teach it online. So you join me online, you get the workbook, so you have that. We go through one day for about 6 hours of working through the beginnings of this workshop so you feel set for your next 21 days, and then we meet once a week for about an hour to catch up and make sure you know how you're doing on it. It's an incredible workshop because it takes 21 days to create a habit. And the habit we want to create is knowing that what? We are powerful, creative, spiritual beings, and our lives work magnificently. It was developed by a man named Dr. Gary Simmons, who has licensed me to facilitate this thing. And it is extraordinary in how it affects your leadership skills, how it affects how you relate to people in your life. It's extraordinary. And it will be easily accessible. I think we said that was Saturday, May 9th. And so please, I know that Reverend Don has already signed up. So come join us for that. It will build a lot of, you could sign up for it in the back, or you can go to our website and sign up online. We'll be back there. I got my book here as well, Cliff Notes on the Science of Mind textbook. I'm very proud of it. Come back and check it out. Thank you. Thank you all so much today.